The Great Deception, men. World War II. Double agents, fake radio traffic, and decoy equipment, including tanks and dummy landing craft, mimicked preparations for the greatest military deception ever in the history of modern warfare. The Pas-de-Calais was the logical place to land because it was the shortest distance from Great Britain, and we had amassed a tremendous army in Great Britain. So we stepped up aerial attacks on Pas-de-Calais. Google taught me how to say that properly. The Germans had great respect for General George Patton. They thought he was our best general, so we put him in charge of the deception operation in Pas-de-Calais and made him very visible with his shiny helmet and his two six-shooters, had him walking around. The whole deceptive operation worked. And it worked so well that it was 7 weeks after the Normandy invasion before Hitler would release the reinforcements from Pas-de-Calais down to Normandy. Men, we are in an even bigger battle today. A bigger deceptive battle. And this battle is not about guns and bullets. It takes place in the heart and mind of every man. This time, the fight is for our very souls. It is a life and death struggle. And the battle has eternal consequences for our children and ourselves. And we need to stand firm. Open your Bibles with me to the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20 today. Gene Mason and Mark Maynard gave me this assignment. It's very interesting how it's a very apt one for me as a young man. With a 32-inch waistline, hair, and a new Volvo, and a blue uniform, we saw those as advantages. Let's not go there. This is very apt for me. Flee from sexual immorality, Paul writes to the Corinthians. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So we're in a battle. And how is the battle going? Well, 77% of American men who call themselves Christians look at pornography at least monthly. 36% of men who call themselves Christians look at pornography daily. 50 new porno videos are produced every day. And here's the scariest statistic of all. Over 50% of pastors watch porno. Paul says, flee sexual immorality. Flee. Here's a quote from our old friend Ken, Matthew Henry. I gave Kent this particular book years ago, and this week he had to take a picture of a page for me because I can't find my own copy. But anyway, that's beside the point. Here's a good one from the 17th century, Matthew Henry. Other vices may be conquered by fight, this one only by flight. Paul says, get out of there. Run for your life. Throw that cell phone away if you have to. Your example is Joseph. He's down in Egypt, and he is the right-hand man to Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife propositions him. What does he do? Genesis 39 tells us he left his garment in her hands. She grabbed his garment. He left his garment in her hands, and he ran for it. You may be here this morning, men, and saying to yourself, well, wait a minute. Porno is not really immorality. It's not the real thing. It's just an image on a screen or on my phone. It's not the real thing. And Jesus comes back and says to you this morning, but I say unto you that anyone who looks lustfully at a woman has committed adultery with her in his heart. So let's finish this 18th verse here. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. The Message, it's not really a translation, it's a paraphrase, or it is a translation. I forget the guy's name who wrote it, but it's what he thinks it says in easier English. It goes something like this. There is more to sex than skin on skin. Sex is as much a spiritual mystery as physical fact. There's something about sex, as written in Scripture, the two become one. Since we want to become spiritually one with the Lord, we must not pursue the kind of sex that can never become one. Men, let me be perfectly clear here this morning. Sex outside of marriage, whether it be fornication before marriage, or adultery while you're in marriage, or homosexuality, if you engage in any of these practices, you are shooting yourself in the foot. You are a victim of the great deception. Paul comes on a little stronger in the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. I'll just read it to you. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. If I had the time, I'd show you that every time there's a list of sins, like in Galatians 5 or 1 Thessalonians 4, or any list of sins of the flesh sexual immorality is always at the top. And why is that? Why is that such a big deal with God? Because you are interfering with his procreative system for populating the earth for the kingdom of God. You are interfering with it. You are screwing it up. No sin, Paul's writing this morning, is more serious. And Paul's point is that you should treat your bodies like that, like you belong to the Lord. Verse 19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. Verse 19. You were bought with a price. We're his possession, men. We become a place where he dwells. Bought with a price. Are you going, let me ask you, are you going to bring a porno video into the tabernacle with you? And what is the price? You know the price. 2,000 years ago, the Son of God nailed to a Roman cross outside Jerusalem. I've been there. I've been on that little hill where they crucified him. See, this leads to another big part of the deception that we are involved in here. This time, we're the victim of the deception. And that deception is called cultural Christianity. Too many people say they are Christians who are not. To quote the sociologist Christopher Smith, who's now at Notre Dame, so many of our children especially, so a lot of us here are fathers of children who are particularly vulnerable today. He says so many of our children are not really Christians. And he has coined this description of what we're sending to the universities today. They are therapeutic, moralistic deists. They are basically nice people. They're nice, ethically nice. But they're not in the Lord. Let me ask you, I don't have too many shots left with you guys. Have you talked to your children specifically about the gospel? Have you explained it to them and made sure that they are saved? Born again, whatever you want to call it, converted? When my wife was dying, she said to me, when she knew she was going to die, she said, well, one thing I feel good about it is all three of my children know you. I've done my job. Okay, lastly, Paul says, therefore, honor God with your bodies. A real Christian puts his moral life as his highest priority. The way he fights the deceptive battle being perpetrated against them is to do what the Lord told us to do. What did he tell us to do? I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So what Jesus is saying is this: the more and more developed your relationship with me, the more intimate you are, the more you look forward to time with him and his word, you will bear much fruit. And in our case, the fruit we need is called self-control. The way I was able to escape the deception of sexual immorality was to fall in love. I fell in love with a wonderful woman who is my partner for 52 years, who's now in heaven with the Lord. And by the grace of God, in 1976, she and I together fell in love with the Lord. Immediately, from being very vulnerable to the great deception, I came to a point where the very thought, men, of sexual immorality abhors me. It scares me, actually. I feel so sorry for these young people that don't have any guidance and are just playing with fire. So I recommend that model to you this morning, wherever you are, even in Africa. First of all, get married, if you're not married, unless you're called to a celibate life. If you're already married, make sure you and your wife are equally yoked in Christ. My experience after almost 50 years of working with men and talking with them is that men who deliberately marry outside the faith suffer. Court your wife every day. After you get married, learn how to be her servant and her hero. It takes a long time to get it, that all you have to do is do what she wants you to do. One of the best days in my life was when my wife said to me one day, "You are my best friend." Do whatever you have to do to make your marriage work. I know, man, some of you suffer in tough marriages. You suffer. I've seen you, and I respect you for hanging in there. Sometimes it just doesn't work. And as I've said many times over the last 40, 50 years, I got a break. I married a woman whose sore job is to make me a success. So continue, men, as we conclude this morning, continue to develop your relationship with Jesus more and more every day. That's the trick. You're the branches, he's the vine. Just stay plugged in. Develop that love relationship. Learn how to pray. Learn how to read the Bible. And if you have any doubts about how to do it, Gene Mason's website is replete with tools. I've got one on there, how to read your Bible for pleasure and profit. You probably did something different with it, but I put that on there because of the man who mentored me wrote that. So spend time with the Lord every day in his word. And I want to thank you this morning and conclude by saying have a good time at your tables this morning.